contact Brian Hardin Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardin Construction at 205-752-9611.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC Prediction Friday. That means we'll be taking y'all's predictions. You guys know what that means, right? You get a chance to win some good stuff, sign football and some other things. If you get it right, haven't had anybody just yet do that. So we still are waiting to see if we will have ourselves a winner. So if you guys want to do that, make sure you guys either send it in via the Tide 100.9 app in an app message. You can call in and drop your predictions. I'll keep up with them there. Or you can always join our YouTube stream at the Miller's Edge over on YouTube, obviously. And you can drop those predictions down in the comment section, and I will write those down as well. So we will be talking about that. We'll put a bow on everything we've talked about this week. Again, we've spent plenty of time talking about this game, right? But we'll put a summary to it, give our prediction and do that. And then we'll definitely want to hear from you guys, 205-342-9904. Get y'all's final thoughts and predictions on this matchup as number four, Alabama will travel to unranked South Carolina again in my hometown, right? Columbia, South Carolina, that is. A lot of people looking forward to this matchup. A lot of people labeling it a trap game. Definitely has the ingredients to be one. But from everything I've seen again, and I don't want to spew too much rat poison out there, I feel like I've been overly optimistic looking at this game, but it's kind of hard not to when you're comparing these two teams on tape. But I also take into consideration all the other factors that a lot of other people are looking at. For example, you know, we're coming down a long stretch, right? Four tough, grueling games, ranked games. Although we won the games, we've obviously been beat up, even if the guys aren't necessarily popping up on the injury report. I'm just telling you guys from experience, man, everybody's a little beat up and bruised right now. And speaking of injury reports, we'll give you guys some updates on some of those names. I know there's some that popped up and a lot of people were a little surprised by that. So we'll discuss that here in a second. But you've got that, the fact that Alabama's been going nonstop the past 4 weeks against really good teams. We know the history, right, when Alabama has faced unranked teams on the road. Hate looking too far back and trying to, you know, loop everything together. But to be fair, I mean, that has been something. But the good news is, at least the road part of it, I know these teams are ranked, but when we did have to go on the road since Florida State, the way we've performed, the way we've operated, the way we've been much more composed, should be a sign of confidence. However, I can completely understand going into the backyard of a team that's, you know, like you say, I mean, there's nothing more threatening than a wounded dog, right? These are some wounded chickens down there, right? I think they've got one win in the conference. Their back's against the wall. They've got some good players, more so on the, I mean, okay, on both sides, but defense is solid. Offense, they've got a few bright spots and some other ones that just haven't been able to put it together. However, in regards to injury reports on their side of things, I believe it was Shane Beamer that made the comment, this is probably the healthiest that they've been, I think, this season. So we'll see what kind of difference that makes. Obviously, availability is a big ability. That's why they always say the best ability is availability. So we'll see what kind of ability that gives them having much better availability. I mentioned those injury reports that have come out, most notably Alabama's, because again, there were some names that popped up on there that weren't initially there, at least earlier in the week. And I guess it raised some eyebrows and probably drew some concern. So the latest injury report, which was Thursday, came out. So the usual names on there, Quay Rousseau, Jamarion Latham, Caden Jones, those guys already listed as out. So no surprises there. Danny Lewis now listed as out. Been a turbulent start for him this season. I mean, he's been on and off the injury report, in and out of action. And I don't even know if they've officially listed exactly what he's been dealing with. But I do know a lot of guys have been coming down with some stuff, just like I came down with something a couple weeks ago. I know Reed, Chase, you know, we've been a little beat up in terms of our own injury report here on the Miller's Edge with, you know, bugs going around and whatnot. So I think that's definitely playing a role. However, a couple other names that popped up, though, Lotzier Brooks and Geno Vandermark, which those are two big keys, right? I mean, you look at Lotzier Brooks and you talk about the impact that he's had, his contributions over the last, really this whole season, but even so more so just the last few weeks, really coming along, being a big target for Ty Simpson, right? A guy that's definitely exceeding expectations. I already had a whole bunch of expectations given what he did in the spring, but he's been phenomenal. He is listed as doubtful, so a good chance he's not going to play in this game. And then for questionable, you've got Geno Vandermark, who again is that swing player. He's really been a starter this season, but has been, you know, moving back and forth between left guard, right guard, even as recent as last week against Tennessee, started at left guard, and they're still doing a lot of movement there. So if he doesn't go, that obviously will be something to pay attention to. The good news is we've been playing about 8 different guys in the offensive line. So if he doesn't go, you would assume that the typical left guard that he's been rotating with, Cam Dewberry, will just take majority of those snaps, along with the guy by the name of Will Sanders, who's definitely been playing some good ball as well. And he's gotten opportunities. He's been working in there at guard as well. Then you also got on the right side, Jaden Roberts, who's finally back from injury, but also was a little bit banged up as well. So that would probably be the biggest, I guess spot to look at would be that right guard spot. I know, you know, having those two guys on left, you know, you feel fine there, but at the right spot, knowing you already got Jaden Roberts, who's been banged up kind of in and out of action himself, and then having Vandermark is questionable, that's not a great feeling. However, there's always going to be things you can do. We've seen them even work Will Conforme at right guard with Michael Carroll at right tackle. So worst comes to worst, they've got options, but definitely something to pay attention to in this game, especially considering the fact that South Carolina, one of the bright spots for them is their defensive line unit, more so the edge guys, but the interior guys, Monkel Goodwine, I can't remember the other guy's name, decent players themselves. So something to pay attention to in this game. I'm trying to think of anything else that's really come up. I know we have Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars. He will be joining us at the top of the hour, giving us his smoking hot picks. So we'll definitely talk with him. And we may have a guest on here. I'm trying to see if we can squeeze him in here because I know his schedule is a little moved around. But he's actually on the South Carolina side of things. But I know him really well. I've known him for a while. And he actually is a former quarterback and defensive back. He played at South Carolina. His name is Savelle Newton. You guys might remember him. He definitely was a really good player there at the University of South Carolina. I'm going to see if he can squeeze in some time during his during those hours. But we'll see if that works. If it does, that'd be great. Because I know he does a lot of media stuff with the program. He, you know, basically kind of, I can't remember if it's like connected to the collective or not, but he definitely does a lot of media stuff. So he's, you know, really engaged with those players. He'd have a lot of good stuff for us. So if we get him on here, cool. If not, we still have Reagan at the top of the hour. So that's what I got for you guys. We're going to break down this game one last time, give our final thoughts, give our predictions, talk with you guys, hear from Reagan, potentially hear from former South Carolina quarterback and defensive back Savelle Newton, and wrap things up. And that's what we got right now. But per usual, we'll just go with the flow right here on the Miller's Edge. Top 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got to hit our first time out. We come back, we keep on rolling right here, Todd, 100.9.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and pleasant this afternoon. The high today, 75. Fair tonight, the low, 51. Tomorrow, partially sunny with a high at 74. Sunday, cloudy and cooler with rain moving in during the day. The high, 66. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday, Prediction Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Don't forget about them. If you're in any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, go check it out. They'll take great care of you just like they take great care of me. Premium arch supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain in just 4 short weeks. It's as easy as that. Just pop those in your shoes and they get to work. You don't have to do anything else. Just go on and live in your life. And plus, they're also doing a lot of great work in other areas too, like the Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge. Make sure you guys check that out right now. GoodFeetKickForCash.com. Again, GoodFeetKickForCash.com. Signing up is free. You get an opportunity to go out there and kick some field goals. Starting with a 10, 20, and a 30. If you make all of them, you can win a couple $1,000. If you don't make any, you still walk away with a prize from the Good Feet Store. I don't know who doesn't like free stuff, especially free cash. So make sure you guys do that. GoodFeetKickForCash.com. Your name, email, that's it. Sign up, you get selected. Get that opportunity. Make sure you make the most of it now. Make sure you got your good feet ready to go and get your Will Reichert on if you do get selected. Again, those do take place at the home games, which after this away game on the road to South Carolina, we got a 3-game stretch at home, which would be nice, man. 3 home games. So a lot of people looking at this game, especially from this angle, right? Alabama's been through a gauntlet. This is kind of the wrap-up portion of this part of it, right? And then you get a bye week. You get to get your guys healthy. You're going to take a week to kind of not necessarily take a step back, right? You never want to do that, but go back to the drawing board and kind of just have a week off from having to go out there and go to battle, all right, like you did over the past 5 weeks, especially in this conference with, you know, those being some good teams, 4 straight ranked opponents, which that leads a lot of people to think this could be one of the reasons why this game could be one of those challenges. Not to mention South Carolina. I mean, they're a good football team in terms of the guys that they have. I mean, really, the most glaring part about this football team, guys, is really offensively, they just have not figured it out, which is probably the most disappointing thing for them, honestly, is, you know, they going into the year, there's a reason they're ranked, I think, as a top 15 team, a lot of high expectations. A lot of hope that they would be able to ride off the back of their quarterback, Lenora Sellers, who many viewed as one of the top quarterbacks in the country. Now, you're talking about a guy, 6'3", 240, can do it all, can throw the ball, can run the ball. He's big, strong, physical, but he's also fast, hard to get him down. Kind of reminds you of that Josh Allen type of player. But with the lack of guys up front in protection and even just, you know, the push even in the running game, they just have not been able to do hardly anything. And that to me is just why, even though I think this game, you know, could be and should be scrappy, could be and should be a difficult game, a challenge, which I think there still is a good chance it ends up being like that. I mean, we've gone through it the last 4 weeks, right? I mean, it feels like at some point, I hate to say like this, but we might lose a little bit of steam, right? That's only natural. That being said, unless this team, the South Carolina team, who statistically ranks dead last in the conference in almost every category offensively, can somehow find a way to put points on the board against a defense in Alabama who initially there was, you know, some complaints, right? Giving up way too many explosives, not consistent stopping the run. Those are really the biggest complaints if you think about it. That said, a defense that has really been picking it up has been getting better and better each week. Oh, lack of getting to the quarterback, that would be the third one. But a lot of those things that I've mentioned have been a lot better as of recent, right? Ability to stop the run has been much more consistent outside of some of the explosive plays on the ground. Last week, we finally got that big-time answer to get into the quarterback. We've been doing a better job over the last couple of weeks, but I thought last week, going against an offense that only given up 4 sacks and getting 4 sacks, 3 of those coming in the first half by one guy, right? That's about as disruptive as you can get, at least from the edge spot, right? That's what we've been saying. This team is lacking that guy on the edge. And now that we've developed that piece, or it seems that we have, I mean, I feel like our defense is playing about as good as we've played. You know, turnovers have still been a thing. Linebacker play has been much better. I think 41, honestly, guys, has come along so nice. And he's been a great addition. You know, Deontay Lawson is playing okay. I mean, I still think, you know, he's not fully back, whether it's even from a mentality standpoint from that injury. 41 has been a nice addition. You know, Justin Jefferson, I mean, he's a heat-seeking missile flying around, can play well in coverage as well. But I think the 3 of those guys, complement each other really nice. They've been playing much better. And even on the back end, I mean, a couple of inconsistencies, obviously. That's why we've seen various other players getting opportunities, whether it's DJ Lee, Red Morgan, whoever. I will say, overall, this defense has been playing much better. And I just don't see us coming down to South Carolina and just all that just going out the window. Now, could I see a situation where, you know, South Carolina's drawing up their best game? Because we know that we're going to get their best game, right? Backs against the wall, they're playing Alabama. It's an opportunity, top five team. We know all that. But if they could find ways to get Lenoris involved as much as possible, if he's Superman in this game, you see them working some gimmicks and gadgets, pulling out some reverses, stuff like that, that just catches us off guard. I think the key for South Carolina, I'll talk about that in a little bit, but I think it's getting Lenoris Sellers going, right? Pull out some stuff we haven't seen, some gimmicks and gadgets and things that you can kind of hit us on and find ways to move the ball. And really, if Lenoris is going and they're able to move the football like that, their best hope is probably to play keep away, because even though their defense has been pretty decent, right? Pretty good group. I just with the way we're so effective on offense, I just don't see that battle going well for them. So just some initial thoughts that I had right there in terms of this matchup. But we'll see, man. We'll see. That's the beauty about this game, man. I mean, on one end, you can envision it. You just look at the numbers, you look at the tape, and it's like you got a South Carolina team that has struggled immensely, and you got a red hot Alabama team who's clicking right now. A lot of people feel like it should be a not necessarily a blowout, but we should win convincingly. Then on the other end, you got a team with their back against the wall. And it just feels like, you know, maybe Alabama might hit a point where we might run out of a little bit of steam. Not saying lose a game by any means, but you just don't have, you're not firing as well as you have the last few games. But who knows? Nobody knows, but we will know in a little bit over 24 hours, right? It's coming up on us. But we also have a break coming up on us. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and hit a timeout. When we come back, we got Marty on the phone lines. We'll continue reviewing and recapping our thoughts on this game, giving our final preview and predictions. Plus, want to get y'all 205-342-9904 is a number. You can also drop them in the chat or in that Tide 100.9 app inbox as well. We'll get those down for you for a chance to win something special. All right, you're listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at tuscaloosacdjr.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHsystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
DJR.com, where you pick it out, and we'll work it out. On select models with approved credit, plus tax, registration, and dealer fees. See dealer for details. Expires month end.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
odds this good only at exit 45 off I-2059, where the excitement never stops and the odds are always in your favor. Bama Entertainment.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Top of the hour, we've got Reagan Starner joining us. Haven't heard back from Sebelia, but I'll let you guys know if we do end up getting him on here. But a couple other news and notes for the future, not for today. You guys are going to be excited about this. You guys asked for it. You guys have been really interested in getting him back on. We had him on a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was great. Really enjoyed it, and I know you guys did too. So I spoke with Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, and we're going to start getting him on here once a week, right? So we'll have him on Tuesdays, I think is what we're going to do. Tuesdays around top of the hour time, we'll be speaking with Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, which I'm really looking forward to that. Again, he does a really good job in his breakdowns, getting you guys a lot of content, Alabama related, but definitely does a lot of good stuff in space. And I enjoyed having him on a couple weeks ago and looking forward to doing it more frequently. So we're going to pencil him in again on Tuesdays, on a Talking Tuesday. I think it'd be perfect. We can react to the game from the past weekend, then also kind of look ahead a little bit as well. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. Again, we will be working with Clint Lamb and Cover Crimson moving forward on Tuesdays. And then also on Tuesday, we got a special guest, and I talked to him yesterday, and we were going to do it a little bit sooner, but he was like, I want to kind of, you know, prep it a little bit. And I was like, all right, cool. That sounds good. We'll tease it. That is none other than Crazy Tony Brown. So you guys are going to be excited about this. Now, we'll definitely talk some football, but I know he wants to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that he's doing right now. He's doing some music, some other stuff, so it definitely will be entertaining. You guys know Tony. When you talk to Tony, you're getting a lot of entertainment, right? So we will do that on Tuesday as well. So it'll probably be like stacked right before, right after Clint comes on. We'll probably do Tony around 12:30 right after Clint. But I'm excited for that, and even more excited because we kind of were, you know, we were chopping it up a little bit after we got that all situated. And just know we might be in the works some. I know we were trying to get this stuff situated with Slade. We're still working on Slade, still out of the country, so we hadn't been able to get that going. But I told Tony, man, just like I told you guys, I'm like, we had Rashawn on the show and everybody thought it was great. And I know the entertainment that, I don't know if you guys know this, but Rashawn and Tony are like, they're two peas in a pod. And like when they're together, I mean, like the chemistry is like off the chain. Like they're hilarious. Like it's probably one of the funniest duos that you could ever be around. And so I pitched it to Tony. I told him like, man, I'll mediate for you guys. I'll help you guys do whatever, but I think you guys should do some stuff like that. And so we're going to get on a group call and figure some stuff out. But just know we get that going. Just beware. It's probably going to be like 30% football, 30% sports, whatever. And the rest with those two, I'm telling you, there's no telling where the conversation is going to go. So it's definitely going to be one of those kind of deals. But I think it still would be good. If they talk about entertaining, it'd be insane. Definitely be insane. But just know we would definitely be sidetracked from football and sports probably majority of the time just because the dynamic. But I love it, man. It's just something different. So maybe we're going to build up some little, I don't know, some little network, some stuff. That's the goal, man. I told you guys, I had this vision. That's what I want to do. And we'll see if it ends up kind of working out. But I don't want to jump too far ahead because, again, nothing's really, definite, right? We're just still trying to work everything out. But just be on the lookout for that stuff. But, again, Tuesday will be when we have both Clint and Tony on here. So we'll be a big day here on the show, which works perfect because it is a bye week, right? So it'd be a perfect timing. That being said, let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We've got Marty up first. Marty, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how you been, buddy?
I've been great, Marty. How are you?
3 days. I've been doing okay, just trying to get things done up here. Been so busy. I mean, it's gone from 4 in the morning to late at night, getting everything in that we can get in and try to break even. That's all. So sorry about not calling so much, but I listen. It's just hard to get called during the day when we got so much to get done and get it done before the end of the month and get it all over to the place that shreds it and then sends out the checks and everything and get everyone paid. But it's one of those things. Hey, did you go up to South Carolina to the game?
No, I was thinking about trying to make that trip, but no, I got my dad will be covering for us.
You didn't go up there and rub elbows with your pops and rub it in a little bit.
Like I said, man, I'll let us take care of business.
You know, I'm messing with you on that. I love your dad. I really do. He knows his stuff, and I really enjoyed it, even though he picks on you a bunch. But the thing about that, you know, I thought they'd do better, too, because I picked him as a second. Remember early, and I thought that would be where we might lose, because I thought they'd do. But the injury bug hit them, and the offensive line just can't come together.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the bottom line. If you don't have the offensive line to block, I don't care who your running back is. He can't get through the hole if you don't block him. Unless you're Superman and fly over him, I guess. But, I mean, you know, it's just the offensive line just hasn't come together for him for some reason. And I know a lot of people getting on Shula. I love Shula. I met him in that. But I don't know that you played, your dad's played for 9 years. You know coaches and stuff like that, but I don't, and I don't get on them. So I don't, you know, that's behind closed doors, and whatever goes on there goes on there. But it, to me, it's just the injury bug hit them, and for some reason, their offensive line didn't gel this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really the story of their offense. I mean, when you look at Lenora Sellers, and I mean, I'm even watching some of the tape like that as we speak, looking at his LSU game, man. I mean, he's so tough to bring down. I mean, he's a physical specimen. I mean, he can rip it, he can sling it, and he can move, man. It's just they haven't put everything together in the offensive line, man. To me, it reminds me a lot of kind of how you had Jalen sometimes just running around, and you're knowing the things that he could do when things are clean, but then when things are kind of going away, it's just you got one guy trying to just, you know, make things happen, and it's tough playing football like that, right? I mean, you see when you have 11 guys on the same page and everybody doing their job, right, you see how much more effective a team can be, and they just haven't had that yet. But I think it's a number of things. You hit two of the main ones, though, Marty. I mean, the injury bug, offensive line not playing great. If I'm being honest with you, I don't think the play calling has been exactly what they probably should be doing given their circumstances. So, I mean, I think it's a number of things, but we'll see, though. I do know with this game, I mean, they're going to try their best to put it all together. Will they be able to? I just don't think so, but we'll see, man. I mean, they've shown at times that they can do some good. I mean, I know their running game is terrible, but the back that they have, Faison transfer that came in, I mean, he's a good little player. There's time he squirts out of there and makes some decent runs. They just don't do it consistently. And a lot of it falls in that offensive line. So unless that offensive line just magically does a complete 180 in this game, Marty, I just think they're still going to have some struggles offensively.
Just like last night's game, man, that quarterback got beat up and the coach left him in there. His left arm was dangling and that coach still left him in there with 6 minutes to go in the game. You know, that was crazy. He wanted that quarterback to go to the hospital. I mean, they would beat him up bad, but that way you don't have an offensive line, they're going to come around that edge and put you in the hospital. But, I mean, you know, there's where, I mean, but, like, you know, this game, they put all the marbles in it, and it takes the ship from going up the river to going down the river. So, I mean, you know, there's where you know, it could turn the season around. Not, but, you know, it could make or break them, you know. They win.
You can give them some life. You can give them a little bit of life. I mean,
get the life back into them and stuff like that. But I think it's just like us. I mean, you take our first game and we played bad. And the coach said, look at yourself in the mirror and everyone do their job. And I think the schedule just fit. Helped us perfect, even though it was Louisiana Monroe, we beat them pretty bad and we did things right. The coach said, see, you looked in the mirror, you do things right, you'll win football games. And the next week it was Wisconsin that was not a really great team, but we had to play good to win. And then, you know, they started buying in. But when you start losing, it's hard for a coach to say, hey, buy in, and you're out there doing the best you can. And you lose the football game. So I don't know. I've never played. I know a lot of coaches that won 12 and 13 state championships. On Sunday, we break down film and we talk all these high school and football games, and he tells me things and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's where, you know, and not your dad. I love the knowledge that y'all bring, too, and I love your show. But I'm going to get my score, even though you may not like it. So, just bear with me. All right, I'm going to say 35-10.
35-10, 25-point advantage, Alabama. I mean, listen, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, when you compare the two teams and how well Alabama's been playing, I mean, I don't think that's something crazy to say. It's just the fact that the other factors involved, it just makes you wonder, you know, can this South Carolina team that's going to be kicking and scratching, right, can they give us a challenge? But, hey, to be fair, I don't know if you checked us out on our YouTube stream, but a lot of our stream comments are in that range as well. So it's not just you, Marty. A lot of people do feel like it's going to end up going that way. So hopefully it does. We'll see.
The only thing is that first game, the coach said, hey, he can go on the board and circle games. If you're not ready to play, that underdog can bite you. And that's what he needs to tell him. That underdog is a when he gets kicked, he turns around and bites you just like a dog. And they've been kicking up, and they might turn around, and you play a C or a D game and let them play a B or A game, you're going to have a long bus ride home.
Oh, yeah. No, trust me. It's, man, if you – and I don't even want to speak like this, but it's just true. I mean, if as great as we've been playing and all the great that we've done, four straight, you know, ranked wins in the SEC, first time being done, and all the, you know, just a tie and now a Heisman favorite, it would be very unfortunate if that was the cause, right? You know, you go down to South Carolina, then because you just didn't show up to play, right? Kind of like the way the Florida State game went. Like, if it's one of those fashions where we just look discombobulated, we're not doing, it's uncharacteristic, that would be very unfortunate. But to me, I think the way Coach DeBoer has been handling his team and the other coaches as well, just how they've been going about their process since week one, I it would be very hard for me to really believe that they would let that happen. I think their approach week to week has been like a complete 180 of what it had been, right? Maybe even going back to last year. And to me, I think that gives me a lot more confidence, even going into a game that definitely feels like it could be one of those trap games. But we'll see, man. I'm looking forward to it. I think it will be a good game, and I'm really excited about it. Always cool for me seeing Alabama play Carolina. Go ahead.
But one thing about this team, it seems like everyone's got everyone's back. It's really a close-knit bunch. I mean, you played on a lot of teams in Alabama and in the NFL, but this seems like I've got your back, and it's just like Pierre, that guy that had three come in and had three sacks in the Tennessee game. He was like third string or set, but he practiced every day, knowing his chance would come about, and everyone built him up. And when his chance came in there, he put three orange men on the ground and told them in the mouth, "You nothing sucks like a big orange."
Yeah, no, I mean, it's always about
Look where it was at the beginning of the year, and he practiced, and everyone had his back, and when he came in, he did his job.
Absolutely. Right? What it's about.
And that's what I like about this team. All right, Roll Tide. And I just hope it's a good game. But I don't mean to mush your bubble, but I'm just trying to win. And I think it's going to be like 35-14 or 35-10 or something like that. Okay.
That's fair.
Hey, have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you later in the week. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. That sounds good. Take care. Good deal. Always good hearing from our buddy Marty out in Arkansas, man. Appreciate him calling in. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling again. We got Reagan at top of the hour. Smoking hot picks. This will be fun. We got a good weekend, man. Good slate. Some good, interesting games, man. Vanderbilt, Missouri is kind of catching my eye a little bit, man. I think that's going to be a really interesting game right there. And then, obviously, LSU and Texas A&M. A lot of eyes there. Brian Kelly getting a lot of attention right now, not for the best reasons. Some fans a little disgruntled there in Baton Rouge. And if you win this game against top three ranked Texas A&M, obviously it'd be great. But if you lose it, it's not looking too good for them. Obviously, I'll say this. I don't think they necessarily are going to fire them, but you got Alabama in 2 weeks after this game, and then you also travel to Oklahoma. You got to win at least one of those games. If not, there could be some signs of trouble in Baton Rouge. Quick timeout. We come back and keep on rolling. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Bless you and thank you, because without the donors, St. Jude wouldn't be here.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
800-428-0662. 800-428-0662.
Must qualify for enrollment. Results vary. Consult with your tax professional prior to enrollment.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and pleasant this afternoon. The high today, 75. Fair tonight, the low, 51. Tomorrow, partially sunny with a high at 74. Sunday, cloudy and cooler with rain moving in during the day. The high, 66. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Got done talking with Marty. He gave us his score prediction. He went 35-10, very similar to what we see in the chat. A lot of people have us winning this game by at least two scores. A lot of them even pushing three, but we'll have to see. It's so tough, guys. It's so tough. Again, that's why predictions, man, I hate them just because it's, I mean, it can really go anywhere. But to be fair, I feel like I've been pretty close with mine. I think the closest one I had was Florida State. I had the score right, but it was flipped. So I don't think that's really something to brag about. But, and then I want to say there's one of them I was off by like a point with one of the scores. But still, it's just so hard to tell. When you look at this game, I mean, again, South Carolina, 3-4 on the year, right? They've only won one game in the conference that came to a Kentucky team who was not good. And then you watch them week one, or and South Carolina State was the, one of the other three. I'm just, that's South Carolina State, guys. I'm not even counting them. Virginia Tech, that was an interesting game. It was a lot closer. It was ended up being 24-11, but the game was pretty damn close. I want to say, if I remember correctly, because I watched that whole game, I think there's like a big special teams play that helped kind of shift some momentum, but it's really, man, the offense has just been plaguing this group. I know defensively, I mean, they force turnovers. They force as many turnovers as us. They've got some good edge players, right? The transfers that they have at linebacker do play some decent ball. I mean, I think Okoronkwo and Zero are probably their two best backers, but they do a good job in the secondary. They've got some good players, right? Some guys that at least a couple of them definitely should be some Sunday-type players. But they still, it's just they, for whatever reason, haven't put it together. But looking at these games, man, I mean, LSU, they go on the road. It's only a 20-10 game. I mean, they played a solid LSU team. Now, again, LSU has been underwhelming for me, but still, I mean, going on the road and playing in Baton Rouge, I mean, you know, I give them some credit for that. 29-20 at Missouri, right? I mean, that's a close game. Watching it, you know, they did their thing. They just definitely struggled with those backs at times. Those backs were bouncing off of guys left and right. Vanderbilt, I want to say that's when Lenora's got hurt. So ended up being a 31-7 game. Hard to judge that. But if you see the common theme is they don't put up many points. Matter of fact, I mean, they're averaging the least amount of points in the conference. And I just don't see that changing against an Alabama defense that is much improved and is finally finding their groove in the areas that we know they needed to get better at. Pass rush, right? Some of their run fits, I feel like all that's been a lot more cleaned up. I mean, I just don't necessarily see it. And I know it's like a broken record, but the only thing I do see is when I do watch South Carolina, Lenora Sellers bouncing off of tackles, man. And I could see a situation where if we're not tackling well and he's just breaking tackles left and right and he's able to pick up first downs and move the football, I could see that keeping them in the game, right? Giving them more time of possession, moving the football a little bit better. Not saying it leads to a whole bunch of points, but again, I think time of possession could be key. If they're able to do that, keep our offense off the field, it obviously would help them out, right? I don't know, guys. I don't know. We'll have to see. Other thing I'm looking at is do we continue offensively struggling running the football? I think that would be big. If we can get a running game going in this game, I think it would be huge, especially looking at their defense, knowing how aggressive they play, just watching them on tape. They do bring pressure. They mix it up. They throw a lot at you. They've got two really good edge guys, but they bring frequent pressure from the second level, whether it's, you know, backers, safeties. I mean, they'll do different stuff and they'll show a lot of different looks. They do a good job at it. But again, all these question marks for me in this game, I feel like we're so battle tested. We've seen us face a lot of these challenges and we've handled them, right? Now, I mean, that doesn't mean you're going to be 100% moving forward, but the fact you've seen it and done it, like Missouri, we faced a defense that was very aggressive, had good edge guys, very similar in terms of kind of what I expect to get out of South Carolina, right? And I felt like we handled that really well. And that also was on the road. So that's kind of where this confidence for me is coming from. I know you guys normally hear me, and especially my dad, and it's more kind of like, all right, we're keeping it real. It doesn't sound like we're pumping sunshine. But I feel like there's just a lot to be confident and positive about. Let's see, we got a couple chat messages here before we hit this break because we got Reagan coming up. Talking Tide says, I think Shane Beamer might be out of the job as well come the end of the year. I like the guy, but they have a gauntlet coming up. Yeah, it'd be interesting, man. I like him too. I think he's a really good coach. I think he is, you know, a great guy there. I mean, in South Carolina, you win 8 games and you're pretty secure, right? I mean, even in this beast of a conference. But I think really what probably would make it bad is people probably look at him like, man, you had Lenora Sellers at quarterback. You had Dylan Story. You got this, they got that. And not only are we not winning games, but I mean, just look at our product, right? To me, before I would turn to him, I'd probably turn to some of the coaches. I think that's why they had to change offensive line. Maybe they're going to take a look at that stuff first. I hope they do. I think that's a lot more important right now for them, but we'll have to see. Bama's sole focus in this game tomorrow. Can't look ahead because they have a bye week next week. Won't play LSU until November 8th. So why would people say that this would be a trap game? Well, I mean, for all the reasons we talked about earlier, I mean, this does have the ingredients for a trap game. I'm not necessarily just labeling it a trap game at this point. That's just my personal opinion, but I agree it has the recipe for it. I'm not mad if you call it a trap game. It makes sense. And I'll just list those real quick. Bama has, this will be Bama's fifth straight SEC conference game, right? The last four were all ranked opponents and good football teams. Two of those going on the road. We've had to, you know, really, you know, fight, scratch in most of these games, right? And rightfully so, you're playing good football teams. It's natural that you almost expect a team like this, even though we're playing so well, to run out of a little bit of steam, right? I mean, you got guys beat up and bruised, even if they're not on the injury report, man. Guys are feeling it, trust me. You play four straight ranked games in the SEC, you're feeling that, right? Then you look at this South Carolina team, and although they're definitely underperforming, they're not playing great, especially when you just look at numbers. If you look at the tape, though, I mean, they've got good players on defense. They force the same amount of turnovers as us, right? They're aggressive on defense, so they can do things to make it tough for an offense. You know the environment is going to be hostile. They got a quarterback who, if he can find a way to get some help from around him, right, he can put some stuff together and make those plays and extend plays and, you know, make stuff out of nothing. So it makes sense why people look at it being a trap game. And last but not least, I mean, just look at the history. We have struggled when we're favored by, you know, double digits and we're on the road and it's unranked teams. I get why the recipe's there. But so I'm answering your question. That's why a lot of people consider this a trap game. Even then, if you look like, oh, you got a bye week next week, sometimes players can kind of, you know, be a step ahead and you're like, oh man, we just beat four straight ranked teams, the unranked team, got a bye week coming up. It's natural for some guys to maybe kind of adopt that mindset, but that's why it's important to me to make sure that you just prep the right way and keep that mantra they've had, you know, faceless opponents, doesn't matter what they are, what their record is, what their logo is, it's all about us week in and week out. And I think that's what we've seen from these guys, so I'm confident that's what we'll get come Saturday. Top of the hour break, when we come back, we got Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars, and we'll go back to the phone lines to see Mike and others. We'll get you right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles.
The Chargers crushed the Vikings 37-10 to kick off week 8 of the NFL as Justin Herbert threw for 227 yards, 3 touchdowns. He did have 1 interception, but also 7 carries and 62 yards on the ground. LA improves to 5-3. Minnesota falls to 3-4. In the NBA, Steph Curry and Aaron Gordon put on a show, but the Warriors defeated the Nuggets 137-131 in overtime. Curry ended with 42.6 rebounds and 7 assists. Aaron Gordon hit 10 threes and ended with 50 points and 8 rebounds. Nikola Jokic had a triple-double in the loss. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has a new career high. That's 55 points. He also had 8 rebounds as the Thunder defeated the Pacers in double overtime, 141-135. And in the NHL, the Hurricanes took down the Avalanche 5-4 in a shootout. The Kings edged the Stars 3-2 in overtime.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Free-for-all Prediction Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Arch Support Experts, where we're now joined by our good friend of the show, Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars, the most popular man on planet Earth on the third week of October. Reagan, let me ask you first, before we even dive into anything and we move forward, man. Have you recovered yet from last weekend? I know we were doing a read. We were talking about you guys, and some of our comments on the chat was like, have we checked in on Reagan? Has he recovered yet? So I'm asking you now, Reagan, you're about, what, 6 days removed from the big day Saturday?
Yeah.
All the interviews, all the, I mean, you literally probably is about a hole in the floor at R&R Cigars. There's so many people over there. Have you recovered yet, Reagan?
Honestly, it took me till about Thursday before I started feeling like human again. I felt like I played in the game. I mean, I was exhausted, you know. It was so good. I mean, last week, you know, like God was so good to us, and He just really blessed us with just all this just crazy publicity that we just got, you know, with SportsCenter and all the stuff during the game that they did for us. And, you know, it was just like, it was just so unexpected and just so awesome. And, you know, it was just really cool to be a part of and to like, just kind of see, you know, just how blessed my work was, you know. And it was just, to finally feel like we got the recognition that I think we deserve for, you know, how much we've done for this cigar tradition, you know. And you know, it was really cool, you know. Like, and it was like kind of like it was wild, you know. Like, it was the first time, like, I finally got Greg Byrne to put a cigar in his mouth. Like, y'all, you don't understand how, like you understand, but like a lot of people don't understand. It's like, here's a picture of Greg Byrne with a cigar in his mouth. And like, that's something that I've literally been working on for like 6 years to get Greg to like, just to like, maybe 1 year I'll finally get him to light one up. But, you know, like, I've been working on him for like 6 years, because every time I see him at, you know, the Tennessee game, I'm like, hey, coach, like, you know, is this the year you're going to have a cigar? And he's like, it's always like, you know, he's always real nice about it, but, you know, he doesn't smoke cigars. You know, and this year I finally got Greg Byrne to, you know, to put one in his mouth. And I was like, yeah, that's a big deal for me. So, you know, it's just, and just seeing so many people, so many friends and so many people that are like, oh yeah, this is the one time a year I smoke a cigar, and just hearing all the stories from people. It's always just such a great week.
Yeah, no, it definitely is a very special occasion. We know that, but then just experiencing, I mean, it's really cool, man. It brings a lot of people to town, and obviously it's one of the most exciting weekends in college football, and definitely a lot of history behind the game as well. Reagan, I want to ask you about a couple of these games, man. You got a good slate this weekend. I mean, there's a number of games. We're kind of in that meaty part of the schedule here, and especially in this conference, where you got a lot of good teams playing each other, a lot of teams that really can't really afford another loss. They're fighting to secure their spots in the future playoff race. But I want to start with one again, your guy Lane Kiffin, right, coming off a loss to Georgia, really close game there, but it was a really good game. I can't remember which way we went, but anyway, they've got Oklahoma. They traveled to Oklahoma, which Oklahoma, they beat South Carolina last weekend, and they're a good team, we know that. But John Mateer, he's been a little, since he's come back from injury, I just don't think he's been as polished, and I think it makes sense. I'm pretty sure it was to his throwing hand. How do you see this game going? Do you think Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss can get back on track against an Oklahoma team that they've got their quarterback back and they're trying to keep their train going?
yeah, you know, as my friend Luke would say, Boomer, I barely know her. and that's kind of how I feel here. I barely know her because this Oklahoma team just seems so different a lot of times when you watch them. Are they still undefeated? They got one loss?
Yeah, they've got a loss. They lost to Texas, but they are favored in this game.
And come on, Christian, don't you know? Like, if it hadn't been for that illegal play, you know, they would have lost Auburn. I mean, that's what every Auburn fan has been crying about for the past month. Oklahoma, they really have two losses, you know, but it's just one, you know. Barner logic, but I like Ole Miss in this game. I like Lane. I like Pete. Georgia at home's tough, and they only lost by 8. But what, they scored 43 points, so, or 35. So yeah, I like
they're trading
like
blows
the,
too. I mean, they very well could have won that game too. I think the quarterback, you know, later in the game, might have had a play or so that might have won it back, but I mean, they were right there in it. Really probably could have and should have won it, but I don't discredit them at all for losing to a good Georgia team. I think, man, one thing about Georgia, man, I mean, they might be in these close games, but they're battle tested and they'll play you 60 minutes. So I think it's fair to drop one to Kirby, especially on the road.
Yeah, I still like the Rebels. Go Ole Miss.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I know Oklahoma's favorite, but I think Lane will be back on track. This one's kind of, he's catching my eye.
Going on Lane, speaking of the things, Lane knows the lines, I feel like. You know, I'm not saying he's Chauncey Billups, but.
Okay, no. You can't mention that his name in the same sentence as that is fresh.
I think he knows the lines. I think covering the spread is important to Lane because I do think a lot of times it is important to him.
Oh God.
I'm not saying that he's doing anything bad. Look, like Chauncey Billups was pulling his starters with a 5-point lead with 3 minutes left to go in the game. I'm like, that's not what Lane does. I'm not saying that.
No.
I'm just saying.
Chauncey, not Lane. Chauncey allegedly was luring players to a poker board that had like X-ray vision where people had lenses to see through.
This stuff is
This sounds like the next James Bond movie or something, like a scene from that. Like people
and they
have
like
AI
earpieces and coordinating. Yeah, it's wild. I do think some coaches do pay attention to the lines and do pay attention to the spreads, and they do try to cover, not because they have a financial interest in the game, but because I think, like, it's important to them to cover the spread.
Maybe there's a competitive factor involved. I don't know.
Not for nefarious reasons.
I would hope not, especially given the week that we've had in the NBA world. Tell me about Missouri at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, they beat an LSU team that people had high expectations for. They've been underwhelming. But still, I mean, beating LSU, I might have mixed my words up there, but you get my point. Vanderbilt beat LSU, a team that you know hasn't really performed as great as some people had expected. They're ranked number 10 right now, and they're a serious contender. This is a new Vanderbilt team. Do you think that Missouri, who will travel to Vanderbilt, can get the job done? Now, Vanderbilt is a -3.5 favorite, man. I mean, I think people are finally buying into Vanderbilt now. Reagan, are you?
I mean, how can you not buy into a team with a 25-year-old quarterback? I mean, what are you like? What are we doing here? You know, the guy. I mean, like, think about it. The guy was the quarterback during Trump's first term. You know, we've literally had two presidents since he started college. That's crazy. you know, I mean, and I'm not talking like, you know, like full terms of presidents. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's wild.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, because I like Missouri. I think Missouri is a good team. But, and I just keep waiting for the wheels on the bus of Vanderbilt to start coming off. Because I think they will. But I don't think it's this week, so I'll go with Vandy this one.
All right. And then one last one before we get to the big one with Alabama. But I did want to get your thoughts on this one because a lot of people are, they've got their eyes on it. Brian Kelly's starting to face some criticism down in LSU, especially coming off a loss to Vanderbilt, who we just talked about. He's got an opportunity to knock off a top three team in Texas A&M. They are traveling to Baton Rouge. What say you? Texas A&M is a -2.5 favorite in this game, Reagan.
I don't know. It's getting a little windy up there on the rafters of at Brian Kelly's practices, I'm guessing. So, you know, it's I got to be real. Like, I woke up last week and I was looking at, like, the top 25 and I was like, when did Texas A&M get into the top five? This is so weird. It was just really weird to see, you know, I think a lot of Texas A&M people, they see a lot of things that have to do with Texas A&M traditions in there, and they wake up and they're like, God, this is weird. And I also had that experience too, where I was like, this is weird. They're in the top five since when? Like, and I'm like, who did they beat? And I'm trying to, and I'm like racking my brain, and it's like, oh, they beat Notre Dame. Okay. like, have they beat? And I mean, it's like, because I'm sitting there and I'm like I haven't seen A&M in a primetime game like all year long. Like there hasn't been game day. It's been like, who did they beat?
And, nobody really did. To answer your question, they're not battle tested. I think I've got this pulled up real quick.
Yeah.
UTSA, Utah State, Notre Dame, they beat them by a point. That was a really close game. It came down to Auburn.
Yeah.
They beat 16-10. Mississippi State 31-9. Florida 34-17.
Wait, hold on. Did the refs cheat for A&M in that Auburn game? Because they need to know if it was a real win or if it was just, Because they suspended the SEC refs, so Auburn, these Auburn fans, there's a conspiracy. Chauncey Billups and then Auburn. So,
I forgot about the SEC refs. You're right about that. And then that's the guy who's been doing it for years. He was reffing when I was in school there, too.
Yeah. I was shocked because, I never thought he was bad.
I thought he was all right.
Yeah.
I remember his face. Something tells me I think I used to get frustrated with him or somebody sometimes because I used to never call holding, but it is what it is.
Well, dude, that's the weird thing. They rarely call holding against you guys. That's like that Dallas Turner and Will Anderson year. There was not one hold called against opposing offensive lines all season long. And it was Will Turner and Will Anderson and Dallas Turner as edge rushers. Make that make sense. You can't. This is a weird one because I don't, Nuss Meyer's really
night, bad. Nighttime at Death Valley. Yeah. I mean, if that's anything for him.
I mean, no, not really. But because, I gotta be honest. I'm like this game. I think it comes down to coaches, and I just I think A&M's got the better one, I'll just go with A&M on this one. And then when they get a real test and not not paper tigers like LSU, then I might pick against A&M. But Brian Kelly, that guy's the worst.
Fair enough. Well, not that he's the worst. I don't have necessary problems with him, but he's a little cringy sometimes when he's dancing with recruits. Alabama traveling to Columbia, South Carolina.
Weird.
My neck of the woods. This is an interesting game. A lot of people labeling it a trap game, talking about the fighting Gamecocks that haven't fought too tough this year. I mean, they've struggled. Yeah. Offensive line is really bad. Norris Sellers.
They need a pill.
Oh,
any one of those blue pills to fix them.
Okay. Well, okay. All right. So mine is 11.5. That has shrunk a little bit. It was, I think, around 13 or so initially. Do you think
you're the one saying it? They come out flat. They've shrunk. I mean, you're teeing it up for that little blue pill, buddy.
Well, okay. Since you want to take it, do you think they pop that blue pill this Saturday, tomorrow, against Alabama?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they could try, but it's I don't think it's gonna work.
Crazy.
It's crazy to think. I think we're gonna beat the Cox.
You were waiting. You've been waiting on this week for that. Yeah. I forgot about that, and I should have been prepared.
it's always one of my favorite things when we get to beat the Cox.
I'm sure it is.
Can't help it. It just comes to me.
As does a lot of people, I'm sure. So in terms of points, do you think they at least cover the points there?
I was on the pregame show last week, and there were a couple of bozos arguing with me. I'm not going to name names, but if you were listening, you know what I'm talking about. And I made the comment that I think this is one of the best defenses that we've seen at Alabama since like the early days of like Nick Saban, you know? And
you're talking about our defense.
Yeah. The defense today. Yeah. And, I know. And everybody wants to argue with me about this.
It depends. It depends on how far you're trying to take that comment, Reagan. And the reason I say that is, I mean, you're comparing those guys to, I mean, some hefty company, man. I mean, you're talking about.
And that's fine. But look what this team's done. Four straight weeks with ranked wins. Tennessee was the number one offense in the country, and they held them to 20 points. Georgia gave up, 44 or 41 when they played Tennessee. This defense to me, and there's not like a superstar on the defense, you know? It's just they're playing as one of the best units with just everybody just kind of doing their job. I don't know what you say about Ty Simpson. I mean, there's so many guys should probably win the Heisman. So, you've got the Heisman quarterback. You've got a defense playing really good on the other side of the ball, getting turnovers, scoring points, making big hits. And, that's a really good recipe for success. The second half adjustments by the defense too have been just great. I think South Carolina will probably have a little bit of a early big momentum thing, and people are like, oh, here we go again, and they start panicking. And kind of like Pavia and Vandy in the first quarter, gosh, are we gonna be able to stop the run? And then they didn't give up, zero rushing yards the rest of the game, combined. And there was one quarter that had, negative rushing yards. So, they'll probably do well in the first quarter. And then this defense, as they settle in, I swear they get better. And they really do swarm. Sure. So, Sellers will play good early, a little tease. But,
I hear where you're coming from. As somebody that played on some of those defenses, I'll just say this. I think that the biggest difference for me is number one, just the balance, right? And I think it goes further than just saying balance. I mean, the defenses that we had, I mean, we would be like top in the country, not just the conference, like in the country in sacks, but then also in terms of like rushing yards allowed, rushing yard per average allowed. I mean, like, it was almost like there was like nothing you could get away with on a lot of the defenses, right? That and then also the consistency factor. I would throw that in there too. The biggest thing for me, like when I look at this defense, even though they are a good unit, they force turnovers. I think one of their strong suits really right now to me is their ability to come up big in critical moments. That's really what it comes down to, right? I mean, keeping them from scoring points or making plays in those moments, which they do a great job with that. It's just the inconsistencies of, you know, giving up explosive runs, sometimes just not having the same dominant performances like up front, like you saw out of some of those pass defenses. So I do definitely think there's some differences. I'm not going to give you way too much pushback and sound like that guy that's like, oh no. I mean, I think we do have a good defense. I think they're better than some people give them credit for, but I personally, I can't put them up there with some of those defenses, like these are the ones I played on just yet. For me personally, I wouldn't do that, but that's just my opinion. But I'm not mad at giving them praise, because I think they do deserve more praise given how they've looked over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks or so. They've definitely they've come along nicely, man. So that's fair. So you got South Carolina winning it, and
I don't have South Carolina winning it.
No. I'm sorry. You got Alabama.
I don't have South Carolina.
No. I'm sorry.
Like, wait, hold on.
No. You've got Alabama. Sorry, I mixed my words up because my dad just popped on the screen and I got distracted. You've got Alabama winning it. We're all in agreement there, and I was trying to say. We got my dad on here real quick from South Carolina. He's tuning in. I'll let you say what's up to him real quick. Let me throw him on the stream here. All right, there he goes. All right, tell Reagan what's up. I don't know. Can you hear him? He's kind of going in and out.
Yeah, what's up, Reagan?
Hey, buddy. Really excited to beat the Cox this weekend.
Oh, gosh.
I forget he's like a pastor now, so I should have toned it down a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's fine. No, he's good. He can handle it. No, so I think he's might be like a second or two behind too. But do you have want to tell Reagan anything before we let him go?
No, I just texted him last night. Take care of a buddy of mine down in Orlando, but I already called the upset here on radio last night, so. Bama down.
Wait, you said you what?
I feel like he does this all the time.
I call for the upset. South Carolina will win this game on tomorrow. Mark it down. I'm calling the upset. It's on. It's happening in Columbia, South Carolina. It's going down. And, so get ready. I'm letting all my Bama family know. So when it happens, they won't be shocked. So as a pastor and a preacher, I'm just giving a prophetic word to warn them of, you know, the famine that's getting ready to happen.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of these things on YouTube about, like, demons and stuff and people communicating with demons. I think Corey might have been getting some bad advice there. And some bad visions. I don't see that happening. And I think
smoking will be going on in Columbia this week. I know Reagan, so send me my case of cigars so I can.
I got you, brother. Brother.
I mean, it makes sense. This is what he does. I mean, he has to say that because he's alumni there. And then if he says it and it happens, it makes him look like he's the best prophet that God
has ever seen. Like,
yeah, and then if it doesn't happen, he just goes back to the, well, I mean, look at us. I mean, it's Alabama. You guys got this and that. Wait, everybody, and then he's going to backtrack. He did this last time. I mean, it's.
Well, hold on.
I think he does it every time they play.
I didn't think it would happen.
Every time he does.
I said yesterday I didn't think it would happen.
No, but today,
I might have
had
a dream or vision last night.
I mean, I feel like when you were here, he would even, you know, be at the mansion talking about, like, you know, Alabama's going to lose to South Carolina tomorrow. I think, but it was like he had more confidence when you were here about it. But, like, because every time after you left, it was every time we played, it was like, yeah, Bama's losing to South Carolina. And I'm like, Corey, I'm pretty sure we're going to beat the Cox like we do every time we play them. And,
no, not really. Yeah. You didn't beat them in 2010 when y'all were number one when you came to Columbia.
Yeah, but that was before R&R was there. So, like, right, I kind of looked at
it. I was barely a teenager at that point. I mean, how long ago was that?
Yeah. I mean, that was like 16 years ago, man.
Yeah, I mean, I was a fresh teenager, man.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I had any. Never mind.
Listen, yeah.
I was still in law school. Yeah. So, like, there's the, like, see, like, you know how they have, like, AD and, you know, like, Anno Domini and BC before Christ, right? That's, like, separate. That's, like, timelines. Like, I look at Alabama football as, like, what happened, you know, B-R&R, so before R&R, which is, you know, like the 2012 season. So, and then what happened after R&R? And then, like, after R&R, like, we haven't lost to South Carolina, and I don't know if we ever will.
I mean, Reagan, you went to Bible college, or you went to Liberty?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. You know the scripture. You know the Holy Scripture.
Yeah.
You know the Bible tells us about speaking. Speak those things as be not as though they were. So all I'm doing is speaking it into existence. Now, I know it's not hocus pocus. It's not name it, claim it. I'm just saying we have to have a measure of faith. The Bible talks about a measure of faith. I'm just speaking it in a measure of faith, right? So all I'm saying, the setting is getting close to Halloween. Right, strange things happen because you mentioned that demonic forces in the air. Alabama's riding this four-game winning streak, whatever, over top 25 teams. Very, very awesome. I'm proud of them. But let me tell you something about when you're desperate. There's a lady that sings a song called Desperate, but she's talking about being desperate for God. You know, when you get into a situation, you just get so desperate in your prayer, you prostrate on the floor, you're fasting, you're in the closet. This is what South Carolina is, bro. You know, you're desperate for a breakthrough, you're desperate for a healing in your body, you're desperate to get that job, you're desperate for whatever. South Carolina's desperate for a win. Alabama, confidence, highly confident right now. So I'm just saying, I look at all of those things. I know the North Sellers, who can beat them? Who can't play at a level that's good enough to beat them? I think it's going to be a coming out party. I really do. 3:30 games. Going to be a beautiful day here in Columbia. I mean, the 2010 team will be at the game. I think they're the celebrity starters, you know, with the game. Cox game. You know, that's going to be happening. They're going to get out the choo-choo train out of the cockaboose. And it's going to be on and popping. That's all I'm saying.
I don't see
any trains getting ran on Alabama this year.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Somebody said Gamecocks need 13 disciples.
Reagan, and I definitely just caught what you had going. Reagan, we got to hit the timeout. Reagan, you have a great weekend. I'm afraid you have too much. So first you had Tennessee, which I love that for. Obviously, that's a perfect weekend for you, and I'm glad it went so well. Then it's followed up by this one where you get to just – I was about to set you up. I was about to say sing out, whatever. Let's get a break. Let's
so easy this week, isn't it?
Unfortunately it is. Reagan, we appreciate you, brother. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Good deal. Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars. Again, if you guys haven't, man, check them out. 2703 Gary Fitz Street right here in Tuscaloosa. RNRcigars.com, code Miller's Edge for that discount code. Plus, you can always go check out all the burgers. You got over 160 as well. They are loaded.
Well, these comments are funny.
Yeah, we'll get back to them. We come back after this quick timeout right on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.912.
Free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this It's Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Food Store, America's Art Sport Experts. All right, we just got done talking with Reagan, and you might need to start making it change the PG rated, man, especially on a weekend like this. Reagan's got way too many opportunities to, to have some fun with his choice of words. Always love having him on here. He's a great time, man. He's hilarious. You can always go hang out with him, too, if you want, right there at R&R Cigar. Let's go to the phone lines. I know we got a couple that were waiting before we went to Reagan. I know we got Mike up first, if he's still with us. Mike, you still with us?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
There he is, my guy. What's up, Mike?
What's happening? How's everybody been?
Oh, good. Great, what's up, man. Mike? Can't complain.
We're not a PG show anymore? Is that what I'm getting from that last segment?
When Reagan is on here, yeah, we might need to alter the ratings just a little bit. Then we can bump it back down.
Have mine hold for that dumb button. You'll be all set. Hey, quick question. Obviously, you guys would know. How have their linebackers been? Like, again, you guys with the film and everything like that. One of my favorite guys I've been watching this year, quietly, been doing a really good job for us, Josh Cuevas. It seems like that guy's coming up with two and three 20-yard chunk plays every game, and he's always falling forward after the tackle. How are they guarding other, like, good tight ends and stuff like that? Because I'm hoping he has another good game and keeps it going.
Yeah, I'll say this, Mike. I mean, just off of what I've seen, they're good players. I mean, I know Okoronkwo from being here. He's an athletic guy. I mean, he's tall, like a lengthy linebacker, but he can run. But I think in their system, I mean, you'll see sometimes those guys are matched up on him, but they play a lot of nickel, meaning their nickel corner or their star or rover, whatever they call the position there, same position, just different name. They'll also be matched up on tight ends. And from what I've seen, I mean, I hadn't picked up anything where it's just like, I think it's going to be some big crazy mismatch one way or the other. I do know they have some good players in their back end, even that play sometimes in that nickel spot. So depending on if it's them or the backers, but if you're talking about the backers specifically, their backers are more athletic guys. So I'd imagine, I mean, they should feel pretty comfortable matching up on a tight end, but the way Cuevas has been playing, if I'm being honest with you, I mean, he's been so impressive in both facets, both in the running game and also in the passing game. So, I think he definitely could end up being a big target in this game. I mean, my dad's talked about it a lot. I mean, tight ends are always going to be your quarterback's best friend. We even heard Ty say that, especially if you're talking about a team that might bring a lot of pressure and play aggressive. Sometimes that quick route, you know, dump into the tight end can be your best friend in a situation like that. So I wouldn't be shocked if Cuevas ends up being a big factor in this game.
Cool. Very good. And have you been, I don't know if you've been at practice lately or anything like that. I know Russo keeps coming up on the injury report, but not really a whole lot about how, like, his surgery went and how everything's going. It'd be nice to get him back by the end of the year into the rotation. But I don't know if you've heard anything or can reveal anything, but I think we're all just hoping that dude comes back.
Yeah, I don't have, like, specifics on it. I mean, to my understanding, man, he's just, you know, attacking the rehab process, and everything's just kind of a long schedule right now. I mean, but it's one of those things where the timetable, I mean, is still a little bit ways out. But I think he'll be good to go when he does come back. I mean, it's just one of those things, you got to be patient. But the good news is Yanze has been so impressive in stepping up tremendously.
Oh yeah.
With the absence of Rousseau, which we all knew that was going to have to be the case. And he's if he keeps stacking on what he's shown recently, I mean, I know people keep pinning it as if, like, oh, he's taking Rousseau's spot. That's not the case. No. I mean, you need two good edge guys. They're going to complement each other. If anything, it's going to be even scarier when Rousseau comes back. Now, if you want to argue, you know, he'll challenge for some more of those base reps. So when they're in their base nickel and there's only one Husky on the field, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he definitely gets, you know, more reps than he might have initially got going into the year. But nonetheless, those guys are going to play a whole bunch. It's no different. Like, we've always had, even when we played our nickel, we only used one jack a lot of the times unless we were playing a dual threat quarterback. Me and Anthony Jennings, right? You know, Anthony, you know, normally saw a good bit in those base things because he was a little bit bigger, stronger guy, more known as like a run stopper. But then as I showed that I could also do it, I got more reps in base throughout the year. But you look at the numbers, we both had great numbers. We complimented each other. We both were on the field at a lot of times, getting after the quarterback. So I see it being one of those situations. They're going to complement each other more than compete against each other.
Yeah. I remember you talking about Pierre at the beginning of the season. Like, you said, he was like a physical, like, freak, but he just needed to be there, you know, football knowledge. So he's getting a lot of that now, so, which is good. But, hey, I know you got people lined up waiting. I got one more thing is while you guys are together, if you guys don't have any pull in the NFL whatsoever still, keep Lenora Sellers and Ty Simpson away from the Jets. That's about it.
Yeah, I know some people are starting to have ties at QB1, which if you're QB1, there's a good chance that you're going to be overall number one. And that's more than likely looking like the Jets, I believe. I think that's what I'm seeing. So, you know, I look at it like this. It's a blessing to be drafted. We all know that. But I do know from experience, the organization that you go to is a big deal, right? I mean, I played with the Panthers. I'm just going to be honest with you. You don't have the best organization. It's a well-known fact. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But nonetheless, I just know he would just be blessed to be wherever he's at. But I would hope he ends up in a good spot, because I know, especially at the quarterback position, that is a big deal for sure.
Very cool. All right, we'll catch you guys later. No injuries this weekend on both sides. We'll catch you all later.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Mike. Always good hearing from you, man.
We'll see you guys.
Yes, sir. Good deal. All right, let's do this. Stay on schedule. Let's hit our timeout, I think, Reed, if that's correct. That way we come back. We just have our typical one after this, and then we're good to go. So we'll go back to the phone lines when we come back, 205-342-9904. And we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Brent Beard. We'll talk to Lee Sterling. We'll do SEC Parlay Picks presented by Brian Harden Construction. We're going to get you ready for Alabama and South Carolina, all on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we've been rolling, man. It's been definitely a very fun and interesting show thus far. Let's go back to the phone line, squeeze who we can in, because we just got several minutes left on the radio side of things. Maybe we'll stay for a little bit of overtime. We'll see. Next up, we've got Bryce, I believe. Bryce, welcome in.
Is POP still on the radio?
Man, he dropped out. I don't know if he lost connection or what, but unfortunately, Bryce, you just keep just missing him, man.
Well, he don't want to talk to me because whether he knows it or not, I'm a little concerned about this game. I just hope we don't go in there and be flat. But however, I think we got a good leader, a quarterback, and he'll get on the team if they show up and get their head in the game ready to play ball. We just need to score quick and get up about two scores, put a foot on their neck, and don't let up. You know, that's what we have to do. Take care of business and use this as bulletin board material. I can only imagine if you were playing, Kristen, in a scheduled homecoming, you'd be wanting to tear somebody's head off.
I mean, it is kind of crazy. Well, I would want to do that just because that's my hometown school and that whole circus of when they had Steve Spurrier, man. I'm not going to lie. They disrespected me coming out of high school, and I didn't do anything. They were mad about my dad, and I guess he was critical of their coaching staff. But, man, being 20 minutes down the road, I was a top-ranked player in the state. I mean, they came and watched me play one time. And they gave me, excuse my language, like a half-ass offer. I went up there. The defense line coach, because he actually liked me. He's a great dude. He gave me the offer, but I didn't hear it from Steve Spurrier. He kind of felt like they gave me like the cold shoulder, which, again, I didn't mind because I had Alabama contacted me, hit me up, trying to get me to come to school here. So I wasn't tripping. But Yeah, I definitely would have loved to play against them, but unfortunately I never got to. So I'm relying on our guys to handle business for me.
Oh, well, they need to use that as a bulletin board material, and they need to really get to show their pride and get out there and get after Marcellus. Yeah. And don't give him a chance. Just cover your lanes, you know. I think if they keep him in check, we'll be good. But I'm thinking 34-24, Kristen.
34-24?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, I feel it.
You know, for some reason, we may cover, but I'm not convinced that we will.
Yeah, we'll see, man. It's tough to tell. Tough to tell.
If they give Ty time, he'll pick them apart. And I think we get a running game going because Miller will be more prepared for the game because he didn't practice all week and he's probably a little rusty. But I look for us to establish the run, you know, and grind the clock at ball control. Oh, they can't score if they don't have the ball, can they? And that's true. Good about ever since the first game, we've been controlling the clock. And that's what you have to do to win football games, you know?
That's exactly right. That's probably what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to play keep away from us because they already know what our offense is capable of.
But I look for LSU to get beat. You know, I take A&M in the points because I just don't think they're consistent, you know, and Auburn, I don't see them winning in Arkansas, but I've been wrong before, and I think I'd take Mississippi State in the points on Texas.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting game too, man. I'm definitely looking forward to watching that one. Bryce, we appreciate you, man. We got to get out of here because we got to make room for Wyatt coming up next. Thank you, brother.
I appreciate you. Bye.
Yes, sir. Good deal. And I think we might have Tommy on there. Tommy, if you want to leave your score prediction, man, please do. I hate that we run out of time, but we've just been loaded and we went a little long with Reagan, but feel free to drop that score prediction if you want to get that in there. Definitely be glad to do that. In the meantime, again, we appreciate all you guys tuning in with us every day, every week. It's always a pleasure hanging out with you guys. Big thanks to Reed and Chase behind the glass, always getting us going via radio. Appreciate that. All listeners on radio, appreciate you guys. On YouTube, on Facebook, big thanks to you guys as well. And look forward to talking again, hopefully on a Victory Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll talk to you guys then.